Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Well, how many know Christmas time can be a busy time? Anyone else felt life pick up a few notches? I know I have. And, you know, we've got a lot of Christmas services happening. The important part is that church will be happening on Christmas morning. We just changed the time to 11:30, and we'll be doing it 11:30 to 12, because we understand that Christmas is a family time. If you've got family commitments, fantastic. Have a blessed Christmas. If you would like to come and sing some carols and just be with Jesus on Christmas morning, the doors will be open for you as well. So we wanted to accommodate everybody and also worship Jesus, which is what it is all about. All right. And then next Sunday is our special Christmas service. So it'll be fantastic. And there won't be tech problems, I promise. All right. Well, we are in a sermon series right now called Building Tables. And we have been talking about building opportunities for God in our lives, for sharing his provision and his presence. And so we are almost done with it as we're hitting Christmas here. And then January, we'll launch a new year together, diving into the Bible with a new theme. But building tables, I don't know about you, but during this, the last month and a half, community has really been highlighted to me. And I have found myself being way more intentional, sitting with people around tables, whether it's coffee or dinner or playing a game. Has anyone else experienced that? Just some deeper levels of breakthrough, building community with people. Awesome. I'm so glad. If you haven't experienced that yet, I challenge you. You still got a couple weeks left in the series. Be intentional. Invite someone out for coffee or just be aware of yourself around the table. Don't grab a TV meal. Maybe sit at the table one time with your family or with a friend and see what Jesus does, because you can hide in a stadium, but you cannot hide at a table. Right? And for anyone who deals with any levels of anxiety, that quote's not a very comforting one. But if you don't, then you're probably like, yeah, that's awesome. I want to be known, you know, but some of us want to be known. Some of us, that's an intimidating idea. But the point is that we want to be known by Jesus, and this is the family of God, and it's a place to get to know each other after our identities in Christ, right? Amen? So today we're going to be talking about my favorite symbol of Christianity. And it's a lot less talked about than the cross or the empty grave. Does anybody want to take a guess at what it is? Swaddling cloth? That's very close. That's very close. So what's the what? The fish. That's a great one. That's a great one. Ever since I ate fish in Israel, though, they keep the eyeballs in, so that's no longer my favorite Christian idea there, but it is a great idea. Well, what's the Bible verse that comes to mind when I say the word communion? Anybody know it? I can read it right here, because if you've been in church at all or visited church, this is probably the verse that came to mind. It's found in Matthew. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, and this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Right? That's the verse that is often read during communion. But I want to talk about the first communion this morning. And just as a hint, it is not that verse. All right? So the word communion actually means sharing. That's the definition found in 1 Corinthians 10, if you look up the root word. And the first time the body of Jesus was shared on earth was on a table. And it was even the Lord's table. But it was not at the Last Supper. It was much less picturesque than Leonardo da Vinci's whole painting there with all the, whether that's correct, I don't think nationality-wise it was very correct probably, but it's a beautiful painting, right? And this first communion, it didn't smell like olive oil or hummus or nice pita or matzah or wine or anything like that. It actually smelled a lot more like, it smelled a lot more like animal poop. I'm going to be honest with you. I hope that didn't offend anybody. Didn't offend Jesus, so it shouldn't offend you. It smelled like dirt, and it smelled like hay. Because the first communion happened in a manger. Before there was a cross, there was a manger. And as Christians, if you're a Christian in this space or you're thinking about inviting Jesus into your heart today, you're probably staring at the cross. And quite frankly, no one wants to stare at a manger because we'd only probably attract a bunch of animals, but no comment, right? But no, no. Okay. I know it's snowing. I know we didn't get our cup of coffee, but if I had my way, I'd put a giant manger on the wall. Don't worry, I don't have my way all the time. Because a manger to me represents the heart of God. And before there was a cross, or before there even could be a cross, there had to be one. Luke 2 says, and she gave birth to her first son, her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So today we're talking about life purpose, mangers, and the first communion. So are you guys ready to dive in? Okay, here we go. So who here likes to do DIY refurbishes? Anybody? Okay, we're going to call on you. We got a lot of refurbishing to do on this property. If anybody remembers Libby, Libby used to be a worship leader here, and she moved away because her husband needed to change jobs. But she was the queen of refurbishing, and whenever I'd go over to her house, she'd have some kind of old bureau, and she'd be stripping it all the way down and then painting it. And I was like, why don't you just go buy a new one for the cost of a can of paint and all this stuff, right? But some people like to refurbish and repurpose, right? An old, I looked it up and there were some creative ones, an old box TV into a fish tank. That was a really cool picture if you Google it. Chandelier planters. That was kind of creative. Those are the things that Libby would have done. But a manger reminds us that we can be repurposed, amen? It also reminds us that God's purpose in our lives is unstoppable. Homelessness couldn't stop Jesus because there was no room at the inn. Physical impossibility couldn't stop Jesus. Mary was a virgin. A dad that questioned whether he should stay or leave couldn't stop Jesus. A corrupt government couldn't stop Jesus. Remember, Jesus had to go to Egypt. Working a 9-to-5 for about 17 years couldn't stop Jesus because Jesus was a carpenter, most likely till he was 30, right? If you kind of look at age 13 to 30 was kind of the working age. So if homelessness, physical impossibility, a father's second guesses, corrupt government and restrictions, jobs that seem to last forever could not stop Jesus's purpose, it cannot stop yours either. Amen? God's purpose says a common situation, a messy situation, a situation that you shouldn't even have to be in. How many are in some of those? You're like, I shouldn't even have to deal with this, right? Even those situations are the situations where God's purpose actually comes to pass. And Christmas reminds us of that. If God says it's the Lord's table, it's the Lord's table. If God says this is a place where you can actually be in communion with me, then it's a place where you can be in communion with Jesus. Amen? So can you just say, this is the Lord's table with me? Come on, think of a situation that you really don't think you should be dealing with, or you really think is too messy or confusing or just crappy, right? And then say, this is the Lord's table. You guys are not convincing me. Let's say it one more time. This is the Lord's table. How many know the future of humanity rested in whether the manger was going to become the Lord's table or not? How many know sometimes the future of your marriage, of your kids, of just your future rests on whether we say, no, I'm going to believe this situation can become the Lord's table. I'm going to actually commune with Jesus in this place instead of communion with all the mess and with all the chaos. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's life or death in the power of the tongue there. How often do we get caught up in asking, what is my purpose? Who here has ever asked, what is my purpose, right? If you're younger, it's like the buzzword. In fact, it's like the politically correct thing. If you know what your purpose is, people are like, nah, they don't really know. They're too young, right? And then when you get older, how many know the secret's out? You still are asking the same question. You just don't want to say it out loud, right? Maybe you're saying it over your marriage. Maybe you're saying, what is the purpose of my marriage? What is the purpose of my kids? What is the purpose of retirement? What is the purpose of whatever life season you are in? Maybe you got a divorce and now you're saying, well, what is my purpose now, right? Because purpose has this thing, it chases us, right? When we're single, we think it's in a spouse. When we're with a spouse, we think maybe it's with kids. When we're with kids, we're so tired, we think maybe it's when we're empty nesters. If we stay single or lose a relationship or we're not able to have kids, we think we're doomed and we will never have a purpose. When we get retired, we think we lost or missed our purpose. What is going on here? How many know if you think you never found your purpose, somebody's missing out on a whole lot of purpose that Jesus died to give us? Amen? So what is purpose? Romans 8:28, for all things work together for all those who are called according to his purpose. I thought, now what does that word mean? If you've come here at all, you know I love to look up what words mean. Purpose means a setting forth, a proposal, or sacred. That's like, okay, that's logical. You know what else it means? It means showbread. It's actually the same word used for the purpose given by God to give him an offering in the temple. And if you miss my first sermon, like, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, I did a whole sermon on the first table. So look that up if you have no idea what I'm talking about. But historically, the Jewish people would put showbread or bread on a table in the tabernacle to give an offering to God. And it was a special place that always had bread on it. So in other words, God's purpose in our lives is an offering. And you can't separate the two. You following? I've never known that these two words were connected. It's really incredible. So the question might not be, what is my life purpose? But do I believe I have something to offer God? And what am I offering God? If you're giving God something in your life, you're walking in purpose. If your marriage is giving God something, then you're walking in purpose. If being single is giving God something, you're walking in his purpose. There might be more purpose, but you can walk in purpose anytime that you're surrendering to God. Amen? See, Mary thought her purpose was to be a wife and maybe one day a mother, but the minute she surrendered and offered her life to God, she became way more than she thought she could be, right? In Luke 1, she responded to the call of God saying, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And suddenly her ordinary but special purpose of being a wife or a mom or, you know, that's not ordinary in a bad way. But suddenly her ordinary purpose became an offering and changed the course of history. The manger had one specific ordinary purpose, but the minute it became an offering for God, it became a throne. Right? Just like we sang. You have a much bigger purpose through the power of surrender. Louis Engels says, God had a dream and wrapped your body around it. Surrender turns mangers into thrones. And some of us have some mangy situations in our lives that need to turn into some golden thrones for Jesus. Amen. And the news is this, you can strive all day, you can get 1,000 doctorate degrees, and if you're called to do that, go for it. But none of that is going to give you purpose. Because what made the manger have purpose was it surrendered to being a throne for Jesus. And there are situations in our lives right now waiting for that. Jesus taught about money in 11 of his 39 parables. And I'm not about to change into some prosperity extreme gospel, don't worry. But I think one of the reasons he talked about money was, first off, he knew some of us would need some help, right? That's why we're doing a course in a month. But also, money represents something that, I don't know about you, but for me, it's something very easy to hold on to. And also very easy to get very wrong. And then also very easy to self-condemn, right? Anybody else get on that bandwagon? You're just like, let's go around the cycle, right? You hold on to it, then you make a mistake, you self-condemn, then you hold on to it because you made a mistake last time, and then you just, right? And so I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus talked so much about it was because it was a point of surrender. And he was talking, and not only talking practically, because he had some practical things about finances, but he's also talking about, hey, what are you holding on to so tightly that I can't get my purpose into it? What are you holding on to so tightly that you aren't surrendering to me so that I can turn your mangers into thrones? So we're going to talk very quickly now, just 2 points. How does a manger become a throne? Number one, what or who am I saying yes to? See, the manger was a table, right? It was a table. It just wasn't supposed to be for humans. It was supposed to be for animals. And my question today is, are you serving Jesus or are you serving animals? And do not turn to your spouse or your kids on that question. Just go with me on this, right? So let's pretend the manger was kind of like a character in a kid's book, because I have a kid's book I want to write about the manger. If the manger only thought of itself as a manger and thought, man, I'm going to be brave and I'm going to do something amazing with my manger life, right? And I'm going to make sure I'm the best I can be. But the manger never surrendered itself to Jesus. Maybe the manger would have fed some pretty great cattle, right? That would have been a pretty good thing for a manger to do. But see, Jesus' purpose is so outside of what a manger could ever think was possible that it would have missed God's best. And the problem is when we hold on to our giftings and when we hold on to our time and we hold on to our resources and we hold on to our relationships and we hold on to the pictures of what we think our life should be or shouldn't be and we hold on so tightly, we miss something that is outside of our grasp. And that's a home for Jesus, and that's a purpose that's so much greater than we could ever imagine. We often think of offerings as giving God what we want, but it's also surrendering any lies that we're believing, anything that's trying to define us that isn't from God. I love tuning in. You know, I don't know if you know this, but 24/7 in this church, unless there's a dance class happening on, we actually put on a live stream of worship and prayer happening down in Kansas City. And I decided to tune in, because how many know most of us can't be in this room praying 24/7. So we thought, well, there's some other people. We're just going to stream it right in, right? And so I tuned in the other day, and it was talking about how if it's a condemning word, if it's an accusing word that we're hearing towards ourselves, it's not Jesus. And it just started breaking off lies. And I thought, man, I've been defining myself with not the truth of God, but lies. And when we define ourselves by our situations or we define ourselves by thoughts and words that people are saying at us, we lock ourselves into being mangers when we're supposed to be thrones for God. And our situations that are ready for God to move kind of get locked down. Anybody other, like, I've been there. Has anyone else been there? Yeah. And so we celebrate the public victory of the cross every Sunday. How many know the cross, the cross, the cross? Lots of songs about the cross. Let's keep singing them. I am not saying the cross is not one of the most important things in with Jesus, right? Obviously, broke the power of death. The empty grave did too, but we also don't have an empty grave there, right? But without the quiet, private obedience that happened at a manger, there never would be a public victory at the cross. And how often do we celebrate public victories that we see in other people's lives? And we say, well, how come they're doing that? But we miss that there was a private manger moment in their life where they decided to let God define their relationship, let God define their situation, let God define their present, their past, and their future. Are you following me? What we often miss is that big victories begin in private moments of saying yes to Jesus that are messy and even confusing, just like a manger. If one yes to God can change a manger into a throne for the Messiah, one yes can turn a heart into a home for the Messiah. And no, I did not write the song before. I wrote this and then I sang the song, but I actually forgot I'd written that here. So maybe that'll be a song that we write out of this house. But Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. How many moments do we reject being with God and then wonder what is going on in our life? And God's like, well, you are standing in a manger, and I want to turn it into a throne, but you won't let go. You won't surrender. That's one of the reasons why worship is so important. And before I was pastor here, I did a lot of worship, and I still do. I've got a song coming out soon that's been sitting with my producer because of COVID and it delayed it all. But it was written here, so stay tuned. But I love to worship, and I've had the joy of worshiping even with Brian across the whole world. So I've done it in Israel with Messianic believers, and I've done it with Arab believers, and then I've been in dirt huts in Malawi and Africa, and then I've been around a table worshiping at a wedding in Hungary and Budapest, and I've been in Scotland and England and Canada and Harlem and Hungary and South Africa and all these countries worshiping. And here's the fun fact for you. Some of the best worship wasn't in the 1,000-year-old cathedral, although that was really fun to do with Brian. And that was in Winchester Cathedral in England. It was great because it was 3 a.m. and the birds were singing with us. as well as snoring coming from like five pews back. But it was really great. If you want to know the story, I can tell another time. There's a reason for the snoring and a reason it was 3 a.m. However, the best times of worship weren't with all the lights and even a 1,000-year-old cathedral, really, just because it was a 1,000-year-old cathedral. It was in the deepest places of surrender. And so my favorite is the dirt floors in Malawi, where we were crammed in with a straw hut and everyone's singing. And I don't even know what they're singing, but we're all singing to Jesus. And it's hot and it's sweaty and it's smelly. And my gosh, it smells and looks a lot like a stable in a manger. Even today, I thought it was funny that the worship didn't quite work at the beginning for like the first 10 minutes. I was like, Jesus, help, right? And I thought, well, I guess I'm preaching on surrender and worship. So there we go, right? But if you're wondering, why do we worship? Why are we singing these songs every Sunday? Why don't they change the tune? Or I don't even like the style. I like metal, or I like jazz, or I like folk, and they're singing country, or I like country, and they're singing gospel. If I had my way, it'd all be gospel, but that's okay. And they're like, why does it? Well, the good news is it's not for you. It's for Jesus. If you don't like it, it's okay. I don't always like it either. But I hope he always likes it. Because we are surrendering to him. And if you think you don't need to surrender, then your life is going to look like a pile of mangers. And God's got stacks of thrones just waiting to swap out. It says he has authority. And we all want to walk in the authority of God. But in order to walk in the authority of God, there's a throne that goes with a king. And he wants that in our lives. Amen? So what are you saying yes to? And what are you saying no to? God can do more with one surrendered heart than 1,000 highly talented people. And let me rephrase that. God can do more with one surrendered marriage or spouse that has a dysfunctional past than 1,000 perfect childhood people who have gotten married. If you think your past disqualifies you from walking in a purpose that can change the worlds around you, then you need to let Jesus start redefining you. David and Goliath with his 5 stones, a little boy with 5 loaves, an orphaned Esther saving the Jewish people. It all began with surrender. God's purpose is born in places of surrender. So the second point is, am I giving my all or just a tiny part to God? Who here has a life that was exactly what they thought it would be at this point in their life? Anybody? All right, I don't see any of the hands. Probably all the kids are like, me. It's like, wait till you get to our age, right? I know R is a very wide range in this room, which I'm very grateful for. But what ideas did you have of what your life would look like? I know Brian and I, when we started last year, we had a lot of plans. And we even had plans that seemed to be like, no, that's like literally going to happen by the end of the year. And guess what? It did not happen at all. In fact, quite the opposite happened, right? We're like, what in the world, right? And so we make our plans and we make our ideas, and then we get this question, are you going to surrender your expectation to God, or are you going to hold on to disappointment and let it define you and hold you back from the redemption that God wants to give, even though you didn't get what you thought you were going to get, right? I don't think I can. I'm so sorry. That caffeine hit right then. When life doesn't go the way that you think it's going to go, or you're going to hold on to the disappointment from it and let that hold you back from the redemption that God wants to do, right? That's the question. If the manger held on to disappointment, or it I know the manger doesn't have a human heart. Like, don't say we're a cult, right? But if the manger held on to its identity as only being a manger, let me put it that way, then it would have never been a throne. The best marriages don't hold a candle to a surrendered one. The best health plan doesn't hold a candle to a surrendered health plan. I'm not saying don't have a health plan. I'm not talking about insurance. I'm talking about, you know, working out and feeding your body healthy stuff. But if you try and do that and you're trying to control the whole time, you're going to end up with some other stress issues, right? Been there. And so the best plan for your kids doesn't hold a candle to a surrendered plan. The best bank account budgeting doesn't hold a candle to a surrendered budgeting plan, right? always saying we are looking for our purpose, saying our current season has no purpose or we haven't found our purpose yet is one of the biggest roadblocks to breakthrough in our lives. If the enemy can get you to think you have nothing to offer, you have nothing to surrender to God, then he's trying to trick you out of his life purpose. So if you have been dealing with lies that say you are not enough or you have nothing to give at the table, I want to just let you know those words are not from Jesus. Because if a manger had something to offer the King of Kings, you certainly have something to offer the church, the world, your family, your future, and Jesus. Amen? Come on, the first time Jesus touched that manger, he announced to the world, "You are enough, you are my home, the messy, confusing situations." The first time Jesus touched the manger, he announced to the world, "It is finished, you are enough." And he never went back. There's always something to surrender. There's always purpose every day. Every day we choose love. Every day we choose grace. Every day we choose forgiveness. We redefine mangers into thrones. That's a song I wrote called Redefine Victory, but I thought I'd throw a fun twist on it. So why don't you stand on your feet if you're able to? Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You know, God has been really working on me turning mangers into thrones in my life. Has anyone heard of imposter syndrome? Anybody? So I went through a leadership course and I discovered, if you don't know what imposter syndrome is, it's basically everything I just talked about. It's being in a situation thinking that you shouldn't be there. In other words, the manger holding Jesus being like, I should definitely not be here, right? And sometimes we just have days where we wake up and we're like, I don't know how I got here and I should not be here, right? A child of God, I do not think I belong here in the church. How am I here? I don't think I belong here, right? It's one of the greatest lies that we can ever believe. And through the leadership course, I realized I had a lot of imposter syndrome in various parts of my life. How many know that our church sometimes does things a little out of the box, right? And when you do out of the box things, it's easy to slip into a feeling like, wait a minute, I don't think we should even be doing this. Like, this is wrong, or not because it's morally wrong, but just because you don't see anyone else doing it, right? And unless you see it in the Bible, which is always a good place to go to. And so today I just want to pray a prayer of freedom and breakthrough off of anybody that has been dealing with beliefs in your mind and thoughts towards yourself that you are not enough or that you do not belong or that your situation is greater than God. I want to speak to any messy, confusing, purposeless situation in your life to encounter our Savior who chose out of every, I mean, he knew the architecture magazines that were going to come out. He knew the skyscrapers. He knew the times. He knew the seasons. He knew all the inventions that would ever happen. He knew the Tempur-Pedic beds. He knew the avocado toxic-free beds. He knew all of it. And he decided to be born 2,000 years ago in a manger. Why wouldn't you think he would decide to be born again in your heart? I bless your insecurity to meet the more than enough of God's mercy and love right now. I bless your heart to become homes for Jesus and your manger situations to turn into thrones for Jesus. My challenge to you this week and this Christmas season, you know, some of us are going to need to deal with some drama in our family, or maybe it's a traumatic Christmas for us. And I want to give you two challenges. One, check what you're saying yes and no to in your relationships. And the second challenge is, are you seeing your worth and identity through God's eyes or your situations? And when you slip into feeling not enough, or you slip into being overwhelmed, because if you knew my week, you would know that I was preaching this as a testimony. When you slip into those situations, remember that that is the very type of situation Jesus wants to be born again in. Don't wait for your spouse. Don't wait for your coworker. Don't wait for the situation to change. Let Jesus come in and transform the situation. And you know, we can't change people. Only Jesus can. The manger, when Jesus left, was still a manger probably, right? I wonder if it had some gold dust in it or something. Cattle got like extra happy when they ate out of it. I don't know, right? But we can't change people, but Jesus can redefine a situation. He can redefine our future. And he's the only chain breaker I know. So right now, Jesus, we choose to surrender any situations that are on our hearts. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's one of our first times in a church again, and we've just been battling shame. And God, we choose to surrender that to you. Father, I thank you that every person here represents a manger that has turned into a home for you. And right now, if you feel like, man, I don't think I actually have made a home for Jesus in my life, I just want to invite you to pray with me right now. Jesus, make my heart your home. Make my heart your home. And maybe you're praying that for the first time, or maybe you're praying that because you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. But I'm going to add another prayer. Make my marriage your home. Make my finances your home. Make my health your home. Make my family your home. Make my workplace your home. Make my future your home. Make my present your home. Make my mental capacity, make my emotions your home. Make this church your home, God. Make this region your home. Make this world your home this Christmas. Because where you choose to put your home, you transform and you redefine. And you bring freedom and life and love. So we just speak hope over every person here. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. We choose to believe in you, God. Whether it's for the first time or like it's for the first time, 1,000 times again. Redefine our situations by the manger and the cross and the empty grave. But don't let us forget the manger. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.